and can be found on page 927 of the Church Bibles. 927. It's Jonah's prayer. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped round my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought me my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris, for the reading. So in the evening series of Jesus in the Old Testament, today we are going to see about the book of Jonah, the forgiving God. Before we get into the word of God, shall we all say this prayer which the Lord Jesus himself has taught us? Shall we say this together? Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. The Lord emphasized about forgiveness again in the following two verses, 14 and 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiveness is one of the eminent character every Christian believer ought to have. The Lord himself has insisted this. Forgiving others for the mistakes they have done to us is not an easy one. Our human mind, it always gets trapped within the constraints of focusing only the hurt and the grudge that people have caused onto us. It is very difficult to forgive others, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can still forgive people for the mistakes or the difficulties they have caused to us. So whenever I say this prayer, I take a little pause before mentioning the verse 12. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Have I really forgiven others? If I have not forgiven others and still continuing this prayer, will not that be a lie? Some people might think that Yeah, forgiving others for their simple sins, for their simple mistakes they have caused to me is easy one. Some might say but it is very difficult to forgive others, those who have created that difficulty in me. It is not only forgiving, but it is also forgetting the sins. To some extent, forgetting is very difficult, because our brain has made in that capacity of recording all the happenings that is occurring before us. And it is very difficult to erase what happened in our lives. But to some extent, we can try forgiving people. Our Lord Jesus Christ, while he was walking on the way to the cross, he met with the people, those who were insulting him, those who were spitting on him, those who were crowning him with the thorns, and those who were just throwing dice to share the last piece of garment what he was wearing. But yet, he did not say a word against them. He did not have a grudge or hatred against those for whom he was going to lay his whole life. Rather, he made a simple prayer. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We, as the followers of Christ, we are commanded to follow the footsteps of Jesus. To some extent, this eminent character of repentance, forgiveness, is missing in the life of the prophet Jonah. We all know this story. The Jonah has been called by God to prophesy to the Ninevites. And still, the book of Jonah, it is a very short book with just 4 chapters in that. And Jonah, you can see, you can read it in one stretch in 15-20 minutes. Jonah is a very fairy tale book. And it is more convenient to teach the Sunday school children. And still, some strong debate is there, because the story consists of lots of conspiracies, and a severe debate is going on whether such a book of Jonah or whether such a story of Jonah really happened. Is it not mysterious? A question always arises to the reader of this book. How can it be possible? Every stage, we will be asking this question. Have you recognized anywhere in the scripture about the prophet Jonah other than in the book of Jonah? Where? In the Gospels, yes, Jesus was referring about Jonah. Anywhere else? If you read 2 Kings, chapter 14, verses 23 to 25. King Jeroboam II, he was ruling in the Israel. And he was ruling for 41 years. And he was evil king, as like other kings in the Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel was victorious in its wars, and it was regaining its territory and strength. In the midst of this renaissance period of Israel, there was a prophet called Jonah. God called Jonah to go and prophesy to the king Jeroboam too. What he was prophesying? He was prophesying the word, saying that the Israel will keep on winning in its victory against the wars. It will be regaining its strength and territory. So you can imagine, Jonah was bringing a positive news and a very important news to King Jeroboam. And it was happening after that. There was victory all over the period when Jeroboam was ruling. So people were all seeing Jonah as a central figure in the courtship of Jeroboam. He became a very popular during that period, of course, because he was bringing only the positive news and the victorious news and always a celebrating news. But during this period of patriotic fervor, God called Jonah after this prophecy. He was asking Jonah to go and prophesy to Ninevites. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Jonah was not happy. He was a celebrity and a famous one, was always trying to win the people's heart by bringing the positive and a very successful, encouraging messages. We have come across, and even today, we see people always enjoying bringing the news or word of God, comforting people, making people to be happy. People's preacher. I'm not saying about Spurgeon's, but it is about bringing and comforting the people. They don't want to bring any commanding or a warning message, even though God is insisting them to go and say it to the people, because they want to win people's heart. You might have seen lots of prosperity ministries going around. They don't want to bring condemning messages. They want to say, like, you will be good and God will bless you. That is the only message we can hear from them. Jonah was reluctant. Maybe it looks like he wanted to be a politician rather than a prophet during that period. Now it explains the story why Jonah was reluctant in bringing the negative message, the warning message to the people of Nineveh. You can see that he was called, and this was the port he needs to decide where to go, because God was asking him to go to Nineveh. We all know the story. He was going in the opposite direction. He was not going geometrically opposite to what God has called, but he was spiritually away from God as well, though he and his family knew the true and living God. They were worshiping God. He knows everything about God, but he was running away from God. In this short book of Jonah, God commanded Jonah twice for the mission. Just 4 chapters, God called him twice. Jonah 1 verse 2, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." Jonah 3 2, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message give you." For the first mission, what God has called, Jonah was running away from Nineveh. But for the second command of God, you can follow in the following verse, Jonah 3:3, it says, he obeyed God. What happened in between these two? He received divine forgiveness for his ultimate disobedience. We know the story of Jonah. He was swallowed by a big fish, and he was living inside the water tomb in fish's belly for 3 days. And what happened in that period? He was praying, confessing, and praising God. All these things happened. He was saying this prayer at the end, what Chris was reading today. "But I, with the shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. He was then redeemed by God's unconditional grace. This was the price he delivered at the end. Sometimes God allows us to go through troubles, like having a fish belly experience, to realize or to understand God's true love and forgiveness. God's forgiveness is given to us by His grace. So after receiving His forgiveness and grace, we were not asked to keep it locked within ourselves. Rather, we need to show and share with the people around. One would expect immediately after going through this difficult experience, at least for a while, he might be renewed and changed. It didn't happen in Jonah's life. There was God's sovereign forgiveness. Although Jonah was called and he was going to Ninevites to proclaim the news, if you see the verses he was proclaiming there to Ninevites, it was a very abrupt and short message. He was more reluctant. There was more willing and passionate ministry he was pursuing there. You can see a kind of scary factor behind Jonah during his mission. Because anytime God may allow a big fish to swallow him again. That was a scary thing. It was going in his mind probably. So he was going around and he preached this message. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It was a very short and abrupt message. It is not a nice one to hear as well. And there is no solution for the difficulty Ninevites are going through. But God's sovereignty has no limitation. Unfortunately, Jonah did not realize. In order to repent truly and to realize our own failures and faults, we need to understand that because of God's grace, all my fears have been forgiven. And because of God's love, all my sins are nullified. And because of God's sovereignty, I am also included in the plan of His salvation. That was missing in Jonah's life. Jesus was explaining about a parable, unforgiving debtor. We all know this parable. There was a king, he was bringing an account to update, and he was doing the accounts, and he found that one of the debtor, maybe he has borrowed millions of pounds, and he was there, and the king wants to bring it to the settlement. He called this particular servant, and he was asking, "You have not paid yet, and I am going to sell you and your wife and your children and whatever the property you have won for you to pay me back." And the servant was pleading for mercy. And he was asking, "King, can you not please forgive me? I can't pay it now." The king, out of his mercy, he looked into his servant and he forgave him. He released him from the prison. He allowed him to go freely. The debt was cancelled. It was nullified. He said, "You don't need to pay at all. Millions of pounds. Go back." On the way back, he was meeting another servant, fellow servant. And the fellow servant has borrowed thousands of pounds. And he was just asking that servant, "You need to pay me back 1,000 pounds. Similarly, the other servant was pleading and asking for mercy and all those things. But he was reluctant. He didn't forgive. He said, "I cannot forgive you." And he has put that fellow servant in the prison. How can it be? He has just received the forgiveness from the king, and all his debts have been cancelled and nullified, and he was on his way back home, not having, enjoying the experience that he has gone through the forgiveness. Rather, he was finding fault at the other people, and he was not channelizing the grace he has received from the king. What was the end of the story? The king heard about what happened to the servant and what he did to the other servant, and he brought him back and put it in the prison again. Jesus, he has forgiven us, and all our debts have been paid on the cross. We received his forgiveness abundantly. We are the grace people. We received his grace. Are we showing the same grace? Are we forgiving the other people's mistakes? Paul, in one of the epistles, he mentions that we need to allow flexibility to the people for their wrongdoings or mistakes. Are we doing that? It's not only about the quantity, how many times we need to forgive, but also the quality. We don't need to see how much depth it has. I heard a true story that happened in America, and one of our friends, he came and shared with us during the small group Bible fellowship time. There was an old man and woman living in a bungalow house. A robber suddenly entered into the house, and he wanted to rob things, basically. And when he was robbing, the old man went and stopped him not doing that. And of course, we were just talking about the crime, the knife stabbing and everything. And that robber, he stabbed at that old man, and the old man died at the same place. The robber went off. Eventually, he was caught and put in the prison. The old lady, she was a Christian, and she came to know about the person being kept in the prison, and she went to the prison, and she was continuously visiting him every month. Every month when she was going to see this criminal, she was carrying food for him. She was carrying the word of God. She was reading few passages from the Bible, and she was praying with him. There was no conversation between them. We don't know the reason why it is. It was continuing for 1 year or so. Suddenly, the lady stopped coming. The criminal was wondering, what happened? This month I didn't see the lady today. He was waiting. Few months after, he was released from the prison, and he came to know that the old lady has died. But he remembered the passages the old lady has read to him, the word he heard through that old lady, and he found out who was the source for that, and he ultimately committed his life to Christ. Forgiveness, it can bring souls into his kingdom. In this Jonah story, it is very sad to see the prophet Jonah has received forgiveness, but he hasn't received in its fullness. But the other people, those who were around Jonah, though they were pagans, they didn't know about the Lord himself, but they repented for their sins. You know, the sailors, they prayed when they were throwing Jonah into the sea, and they were saved. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made oaths to him. And Ninevites, the king and the nobles, they heard the message, very short, abrupt message, the Ninevites will be gone. But they were fasting and praying. And we know the end of the story. What happened to Nineveh? God saved them. Our calling today. Mark 16:15. Jesus is asking us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We received grace through his word. We received forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the commandment. Just like the Lord has called Jonah to go and proclaim, this is the same commandment. God is asking us to go and preach the gospel to all creation. Are we obeying this commandment? Have we told the good news to anyone? Have we started sharing? Have we brought any souls to his kingdom? It is not like the street ministers, the street pastors, those who are doing it. It is not only that. It is not only going and distributing the tracts around the people. This is something like being in the presence of the people and showing them who we are and what is inside us, who is inside us. This is the call for us. Are we like Jonah? Maybe not running away in the opposite direction, but doing the same work what we have been doing. Have we started doing this work?